So we're going to go through some of the questions that come up in halacha related to Kedusha. Last time we spoke about the meaning and significance behind the prayer and what we're trying to accomplish by emulating the angels in the way that they emulate the Kedusha, the holiness of God, and express that Kedusha, and that we, by creating more octaves among ourselves, act more like the angels in that regard. So there's a few questions that come up related to Kedusha. I just jotted down some of the common questions that I've heard raised, and hopefully that will cover some of the basic laws as well of Kedusha. But just as a by way of introduction, Kedusha, as the name suggests, is a davar shebe kedusha, is something that requires a minyan, because it is something that is one of the things listed in the Mishnah in Megillah as something that requires a minyan due to the loftiness of the prayer, and therefore requires a minyan, similar to Kaddish, requires a minyan as well. And therefore, a person does not say Kedusha when they are alone. They would only say it in the context of a minyan. So let's say, though, the following scenario. Let's say that I had already davened, being that I already davened, I'm just sitting in the shul and I'm learning. And then what happens is that when I'm sitting and learning, another minion comes in and begins to pray, and they get up to Kaddish and Kedusha. So what do I do? So the Shulchan Aruch addresses this, and the Shulchan Aruch says you answer Yachalanos, you answer Meini Shmir Abba and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, you would answer along with the minyan. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even the Shulchan Aruch writes, let's say I overhear it, okay? So let's say I'm not even in the room, but I just overhear the Kaddish and Kedusha taking place. They're in another place, and I overhear it. There the Mishnah Berurah, there the Shulchan Aruch says it's Yachal Anos. There I have the right to answer. So that's a whole discussion amongst the poskim. When the Shulchan Aruch says that you have the right to answer, what exactly does that mean? It says in Shulchan Aruch that hayu asar b'makom echad, 10 are in one place, va'omrim kaddish and kedusha, they're saying kaddish and kedusha. Afilu misha einu imayim, even if you're not there, right? You're in a totally different place. Mishnah Berurah says, afilu hu b'bayis acher, rachuk l'gamre, you're in a house across the street. You're in a completely different place, and you overhear it nevertheless. So then, yachol la'anos, you have the right to answer. You have the right to answer.
Is it required? In other words, in one case,
so now that's the question. So that's the question. What does the Shulchan Aruch mean when it says that you have the right? Does it mean that you have to or not? So the basic accepted practice amongst the poskim, this is what the Rav Eliashiv had said, is that it depends what you're doing. If you're not doing anything anyway, so then it's a tzarech. Then you have to answer. But if, let's say, you're learning, you're involved in a mitzvah, you're focused on something, and you're not going to be able to just stop whatever you're doing, so then you don't have to. So the reason the Shulchan Aruch says it as yachol anos, you can, is because it depends probably on your situation. That if you're in a situation where you're not doing anything anyway, so then you should. Absolutely, you should. In fact, the Stechemid points out that there are times where the Shulchan Aruch uses that language of yachol anos, of yachol, like you can, and he actually means you have to. He points out a few places that he actually uses that kind of language. So,
it's not a difference between whether you're, like, the first example, somebody's in the, you're actually in the shul. But
so if you're in the shul, then you have to.
Then you have to. Okay, right. So it was a case
you
of
have to. Outside. Yeah, then you have to. Then you have to, yeah. But then Rav Eliashiv did qualify this a little more. He said, even the person in the shul, okay, but they already, let's say, like, you know, in... in places like Mea Shearim, or you know, even in the United States, places like Lakewood, or you know, Brooklyn, you have these like minion factories, right? Where you have, you could be sitting in a base medrash, and then every 15 minutes, there's another Marvin, yeah, and another Marvin, yeah, and another Shacharsman, right? It's like every 15, 20 minutes, another minute, another minute, another minute. It's a beautiful thing. But I just want to sit and learn, right? So I need to get up every single time. So Rav Eliashib said that the answer is yes, you do. But the minimum that you have to respond is just Amen Yeshmei Rabba and Kedusha. That's it. Every Amen, you don't need to do. Every the entirety of Kaddish, even, you don't need to answer. Amen Yeshmei Rabba and Kedusha, though, that you have to respond to, even in that scenario. Okay.
Does it make a difference if you were in shul and you had previously davened with a minyan or without? Is there any difference? Would that make a difference?
Yeah, absolutely makes a difference. If I already fulfilled my mitzvah of Kedusha and Kaddish, that's what we're talking about. If I didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet of answering, the Mishnah Berurah says you have to answer at least a minimum of 7 Kaddishes a day. So if I already answered all of my Kaddishes, that's what we're talking about, right? Already did Kedusha today. But if I didn't daven the minyan earlier, then for sure, without question.
But if you davened it by yourself, then would you just do those parts that you hadn't done with the minyan, or should you?
No, just those parts. You have to make sure you answer. But here's a very, very common question that comes up related to Kedusha is, if a person is in the middle of their Shmona Esrei, it doesn't even have to be Shmona Esrei, really any place between Baruch Hu through the silent Shmona Esrei. So from the blessings of the Shema itself, the blessings after the Shema, through Shmona Esrei, and I'm davening, and I go a little bit slower than everybody else, and I'm still in the middle of my Shmona Esrei, and the congregation got up to Kedusha. So what do I do, right? It's a little bit of a catch-22, because on one hand, I have to fulfill my mitzvah of saying Kedusha. But if I respond to Kedusha, so then I'm going to create a break in my Shmona Esrei that could invalidate my Shmona Esrei. So what do I do? So Rashi, in two places in Shas, Daf Lamed Ches in Masechta Sukkah and Daf Chaf Aleph in Masechta Brachos, points out that you pause your Shmona Esrei and you just listen. You don't respond, you just listen. Utilizing the mechanism that the Gemara over there discusses of Shomea Ka'ona, there's a halachic mechanism that listening is equal to saying, meaning that if, let's say, somebody needs to make Kiddush, okay? And as we do this every single Shabbos, right? Everybody needs to make Kiddush. So does everybody make their own Kiddush? No, right? Everybody listens to, say, a chul, everybody listens to me make Kiddush, and then everybody eats from the Kiddush, right? Because everybody heard, well, doesn't everybody need to make their own? The answer is no, because Shomea, listening, is another form of fulfilling your mitzvah. You can either fulfill it through saying it, through Ona, or Shomea, or listening, which is Ki Ona, which is like you're saying it. So Rashi says, here, this is a great solution, that if I just stop and listen, I can fulfill my mitzvah, but I'm not going to be speaking, which would invalidate my Shmona Esrei, because I would be speaking in the middle of my Shmona Esrei. So I can listen, fulfill my mitzvah, and then and not interrupt my Shmona Esrei, continue on with the rest of my Shmona Esrei afterwards. So basically is that because I stopped and listened. I stopped my Shmona Esrei. I'm listening, fulfill my mitzvah of Kedusha, and then I keep moving. I finish my davening afterwards finish my Shmona Esrei, and I can do that because I did not speak in the middle.
Wouldn't that always, to me, the place that always comes up the most is on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
I know the Todd always makes this very different announcement. Then he says, you know, ready to start. If you are not complete with your Shmoneh Esrei, please continue at your own pace.
Right.
And, you know, we're starting the repetition on page whatever. Correct. So, but there, of course, the part to get the Shmoneh to the Kedusha is usually a lot longer on Rosh Hashanah. So, but what if it, even there, should you should do the same policy?
Just do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, just do the same thing. You just keep going at your own pace. Mm-hmm. And then you'll stop and listen to Kedusha. Okay. Stop and listen to Kedusha. Now, Tosfos there asks a question on Rashi. And actually, Rabbeinu Tam says, Rashi's grandson, asking a question on the Zayda, saying, I don't understand. Wouldn't stopping and listening constitute the same interruption? Right? If I fulfilled the mitzvah through listening, that means that it's as if I said it. And if it's as if you said it, so that should constitute a break. Now, Tosfos, interestingly, he writes, he says that, now, even though I have this problem with Rashi, the halacha still follows Rashi. This is our practice that we stop and listen, which is our practice. It's what we do. But the question is, how do you rationalize it? So the Stipler Gaon, Kehilas Yaakov, deals with this. And he says that there's basically two ways of viewing this concept of Shomea Kohen. Of listening is another way of fulfilling the mitzvah, not only through saying that. That verbal mitzvot, there's two ways of fulfilling it, through listening or through speaking. Says the Stipler, there's two ways of viewing that. Either it's that through me listening, it's just another mechanism for me to fulfill the mitzvah. But it's not like I'm actually speaking. Or you say that the listening in and of itself on a halachic level is like the words are actually coming out of my mouth, even though I'm not actually saying anything. But the halacha created this new reality that through listening, it's like the words are coming out of my mouth. So therefore, says the Stipler, now we can understand Rashi, because Rashi didn't view it as if it's the words that are like they're literally coming out of your mouth. It's just that simply there's another mechanism to fulfill a mitzvah, either through speaking or through listening. And listening is not the same thing as speaking. And therefore, it's not going to constitute a break, an interruption in your Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. Other common questions that come up is, let's say a person listened to a bracha over a microphone or a loudspeaker. Okay. So the bracha was made. They do slichot at the kotel. So the chazan is just some massive minion. No one's gonna be able to hear the chazan. So they give them chazan a microphone. So does that work? So the Gemara in Sukkah discusses a similar scenario. We'll say like this. First, there's two issues there. One is, right, there's two separate issues there. One is that, well, how do we view a microphone in halacha? Is a microphone like I'm listening to the person's voice, right? Or is it like I'm listening to a recording? Okay. And I'm listening to an electronic voice versus a person's voice. And the second part of the question is going to be, well, in general, what do we say about saying amen to a bracha or responding to a bracha that I didn't actually hear? Right? Meaning let's take the assumption that listening from a microphone is like I'm not hearing it. So then can I answer amen to a bracha that I didn't actually hear? So to deal with the first question of how do you treat a microphone in halacha, so this is a major discussion amongst the poskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this, and he says he's not sure exactly how to deal with it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is okay with hearing through a microphone. Rav Tzion Cook said that he had seen Rav Chaim Kanievsky answer Amen to brachos that he heard through the microphone at a Sheva brachos, let's say. Rav Eliashiv was totally, he thought that listening from a microphone is, he called it a tzilum kol. It's a recording or a it's the it's mirroring a person's voice, but it's not the person's actual voice. You're listening from a speaker. Those are not the same kind of sound waves. So you're not hearing from the person, you're hearing from the loudspeaker. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said the same thing, that listening from a microphone is not like you're listening to the actual person make the bracha. So then if that's the case, is there any solution to listening, to answering to Kedusha or a bracha through a microphone? So the solution is as follows, is that the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf and Aleph talks about the shul, the great synagogue in Alexandria, where it was so huge that they had signs up that would indicate when to say Amen, because not everybody in the shul could hear the chazan. So they would have a sign to let people know that now it's time to say Amen. Okay? How do you rationalize that? So the Ramah says that there's two caveats. One is that you need to have at minimum a minion that actually hears the bracha. Meaning, if including the chazan, you have 9 additional people that actually heard the bracha come out of the chazan's voice, and then everyone else is answering amen to that minion's amen, that's perfectly fine. The second, so that would apply to the microphones. Let's say like at the kotel. So the person has the microphone and they, right, obviously this is not on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? So as long as they have 9 people surrounding the amud, surrounding the bima, where the chazan is, and they are hearing it, that's not a problem, says Rabbi Yashiv. Number 2, he points out from the Ramah, that the Ramah writes that the other caveat for this to work is you have to know what bracha is being said. I mean, you're not just answering amen to other people's amen, but it's that, like in the shul in Alexandria, everybody knew what part of the davening they were up to. Everybody knew they were in the middle of Kedusha. It's just a question of what the timing of the chazan was. You knew what bracha the chazan was up to when you answered amen. You just couldn't hear the words from the chazan himself. So as long as you know what you're responding to, then you can respond. So a microphone solves that because everyone can hear it. So it solves both issues. Number one, as long as you have 10 people that can actually hear from the chazan's voice himself, then that's fine. And number 2, everyone knows what they're responding to because they can hear it from the mic.
So why was he's like Rav Moshe was still never, was he never sure? I mean, so
he was unsure to be even more lenient. To say even if you don't, let's say, have those 10 people there and you just hear from the microphone, right? Uh-huh. That maybe is good because it's like you're still hearing from the person.
I see.
To be even more lenient. 2 more notes about Kedusha. One is that, and this really applies to brachos and answering amen in general, is that there's an issue called amen yesoma and amen mu'uchar, which is basically, let's say, a person who answers amen too early or too late. Meaning amen needs to be responded within 3 seconds of when the blessing was made. If it was responded too early before the blessing was completed, or too late after 3 seconds from when the blessing was completed, so then there you either jumped the gun or you were too late on the amen. And in fact, the Gemara says that it's a terrible thing to do, to say an amen yesom or amen meucheres, so that you do an amen that's too late or too early. It's not a good thing to do. You need to make sure that the amen is timed properly. And this is something that is very easy to make a mistake on, especially when the chazan is singing. People need to pay a lot of attention to this, especially on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. This mistake happens a lot because of the nusach of right. So so if the chazan, let me try and give an example in my terrible chazanos. Okay. Let's say the chazan says, So, I mean, let's just say it's like this. Like, Leila, Leila, min kol berchasa vishirasa, tush berchasa, benechemasa, dami rabbi yama, vimru amen. And then, let's say the chazan then continues on with the singing. And then everyone says amen. That's a problem.
So they
you need to make sure that you time that you say the amen. So, right. So you say, so the chazan can sing all he wants, but as long as I get my amen, then you're okay. So you need to be very conscious of this. It could also happen the opposite direction, where the person says the amen too early, right? Say, let's say over here. Right. So the person says the amen too early. It's like over here. So before the chazan gets to v'imru amen, you already get your amen in. That also could be a problem. So you need to be very conscious of that. The last thing that we'll note is that, and this is something that I think a lot of people are unfamiliar with. This is in, explicit in the Mishnah Berurah, that let's say a person, walks into shul, and they're in the middle of kedusha. Let's say, they're in the middle of kedusha, and you missed the beginning of it. So the halacha actually is that you don't start from where they're up to. You actually, let's say somebody had ran to the restroom and they come back and they're in the middle of the repetition and they're in, you know, the middle of kedusha. You don't just continue let's say you missed kadosh, 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 okay? And they're up to kvodo, maleola, and sharsav. You don't just wait for the next response. You go back to the beginning of nekadesh and you catch up. You go to the beginning of kedusha and you catch up to them, and then you continue responding with them.
But if you were in this earlier scenario you talked about where you're just slower than the congregation, and so you have to pause your davening, you don't then do any of the responses during kedusha, do you? You just stand there and wait.
Yeah, you can't stop and listen.
You can't do any responses.
Yeah.
So this is a different thing.
It's a different scenario. I had gone to the restroom.
Okay, got it.
I'm done already. Right. I went to the restroom. I came back. They're in the middle of kedusha. So if I'm able to catch up,
okay.
So then I catch up from the beginning of kedusha. If I can't catch up, I would just stop and listen. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so these are just a few of the common questions that come up related to Kedusha. It's important to know. We'll continue, God willing, next week with Atachonin.
Okay.
Okay. Take care, everyone.
You too. Thank you.